You're listening to Improvisations. I'm Todd Steed. Coming up now, my interview with vocalist and musician Petra Hayden, who has made so many great records. Her solo recordings like Goes to the Movies, her records with Bill Frisell, Harmony, When You Wish Upon a Star, the records with her family, and of course she's the daughter of legendary jazz bassist and composer Charlie Hayden. And on this evening's Improvisations, we're going to talk to her about her dad and how he influenced her, but also what are her favorite pieces of music by Charlie Hayden. I started out by asking her her first memory of seeing her dad perform.
My first memories of watching him was like, how old was I? I was like 12. And my sisters and my brother and my mom went to McCabe's guitar shop in Santa Monica. The Minutemen and the Liberation Orchestra played at McCabe's. And my dad sat in playing bass with the Minutemen on a song called Little Man with a Gun in His Hand.
I know that song.
And I remember just watching him. I was so inspired because it looked so fun. And also he was really funny. My dad was always, he liked to tell funny jokes and he always seemed so relaxed and on stage and when he played. And it was really inspiring for me. I mean, because, you know, these days, I mean, performing is always really hard for me in general. But whenever I saw my dad perform, I just would want to, like, remember, you know, music is about having fun, you know, playing and performing and doing what you love. It's all to have fun and to feel good. And he always helped me remember that. And so when he played, I remember seeing him when he played with the Minutemen, he was just laughing and smiling and it was just really inspiring.
On the track Silence, so let's talk about that one from the big band record, you know, with Carla Bley arrangement. And he writes, "Silence is at the beginning and the end of everything in life. This song was written with the thought that there is infinite possibilities for humankind contained within the brilliance of the universe." I mean, when you're covering that tune, are you thinking about that? Or are you just thinking about the melody? How do you approach something that was obviously very important to him?
I remember him saying how important, you know, like in music, you know, people play notes, but what's also really important is the silence in between the notes, you know, like if I'm recording or trying to record something on my own, I sometimes I just want to hurry, you know, but what I have to remember is also to just slow down, and that the silence is also important. And with that, with his song Silence on the Liberation Orchestra, and when he covers it with other musicians, I do feel that, like, the slowness, like, just everyone's always in a hurry, it just seems like these days, like, you know, there's crashes going on and people, you know, violence and guns and everything, and I just want the whole world to just stop. Like, there's that Twilight Zone episode where this guy could freeze everything. And sometimes that's what I want to do. I just, like, everyone just breathe, you know, just pause. And while I record while I recorded silence, I was trying to pause, you know. It's calming. It's kind of like a meditation in a way. Like recording that really, and listening to it puts my mind at ease. And that's, you know, these days that's what people need, you know, in all times of life. That's what people need in life, is to just slow down and listen to the silence in between notes. Like that, like even though it's quiet, nothing is ever like dead quiet. So it's good to just hear what calmness is.
One of the songs you chose, I found a very interesting choice, was Child's Play from In Angel City, the Quartet West, 1988. That is, talk about music making you happy. This one I put on and it just, and I was feeling kind of run down after lunch. You know, I had a lot of carbs and I put this on and I was like, okay, now I'm ready. I'm ready for the rest of the day. It's just it's such a great piece. Why do you love it?
I've always loved this song because it's just so fun. And, you know, this is another one I want to do a cover of. When I hear great music, I just immediately want to do a cover of it. And so I'll probably do a cover of this one too. But like you said, it just puts a smile on your face. And my dad always thought it was important to keep a childlike quality because it helps people be more creative and more imaginative and be able to just live without worry on our minds, you know, and living in the present moment. And that's when I listen to Child's Play, that's what I think of. It's just living in the present moment. It's just having fun and dancing and it's just festive, and that's why I love it.
Yeah, and Ernie Watts on there, you know, it's just his playing just sounds so spontaneous and joyful. You know, it doesn't sound like, okay, I know a million licks, I can play this, I can play this style. Here I go. It just sounds like he is really in it.
Oh yeah, and I love watching Ernie Watts play. You know, in Quartet West, it was always so fun to watch Ernie play because I always thought to myself, God, I want to do that. I want to play. I want to pick up the saxophone now because it's just so fun.
There's another piece that you chose, and there's a couple different versions, I think, but with Spiritual, with Pat Metheny from Beyond the Missouri Sky. Now, this is a totally different vibe. There's a lot of Charlie Hayden records where he gets into the sort of cinematic, evocative sort of landscape, nature. There's a lot of nature in his music, I find. And this is a nice piece in that regard.
Well, spiritual, my brother wrote, I asked my brother why he wrote it, like what was the story behind spiritual, and he said he wanted to write a slow country gospel song about a person who had burned all his bridges and was reaching out to the last hope of redemption, and that to him was Jesus. And he doesn't believe in God the way organized religion promotes the idea of God, but he's a very spiritual person and artist, and my dad is, you know, of course, spiritual, and that's why I feel like my dad played it, did a version of it, because it's such a beautiful spiritual song. That's why it's called spiritual. But I love the Pat Metheny and my dad's version. Pat Metheny he's one of my favorite guitarists of all time. And so listening to him, it just, you know, I just want to sing, you know, I just want to sing what he's playing. And learn, you know, I actually play the mandolin also, and I would try to memorize some of his solos too. And so when I hear him play, it's like, it is so spiritual. And so of course they did that song. Thank you.
I do want to ask you about Shenandoah, because I don't know what it was. I put that on the day, and man, I just like got choked up.
Yeah.
It just choked me right up. I mean, it's got to, I'm assuming maybe you have that reaction to it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I saw my dad sing it, when I saw him recording it, I was crying. It was a really deep moment, because when he was 15, he had polio, but it's called bulbar polio that affected his vocal cords. So he had to stop singing when he was 15. And that's when he started playing bass. Actually, he would play his brother Jim's bass. And he learned bass from his brother Jim. And when Jim couldn't play bass in the Hayden family band, my dad felt like he was really missing the deep notes of the music. And so that's how he just wanted to play bass. But he couldn't sing, and it was really sad. And he wanted to do Oh Shenandoah, of course, because he was born, that's the town he was born in, and he did it as a tribute to his mom and dad for you know, giving him so much music, and he just dedicated it to them. And it was really heavy to watch him and hear him. And I remember thinking how great he sounded. Like he was nervous about it, about singing, but he was, I mean, really, really great. I remember telling him, like, you were in tune, everything was beautiful, and it just really, it was so beautiful and sad, but positive at the same time. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, there's a lot of ways to be a great singer. And for me, I think my favorite singers are ones that really know how to convey the meaning of the song and the feeling of the song. And when I put that one on today, it was like, it hit me like right in the heart, like direct hit. And that's because of the way he sang it, you know. And then, and you learn more about the backstory, and it makes you, if you weren't like on the edge, it'll put you over the edge of emotion right there. But I just thought it was a beautiful delivery.
Oh, yeah. It really was. It's just such a beautiful, beautiful song. I love it. And I think my favorite version is of him singing it.
Yeah, it's going to be my go-to now, I have a feeling. And as far as songs about whales, I think he's also got that cornered for me as well. Like, I'm so glad you put Song for the Whales on your list, because that was one of the first ones I ever heard from him, and when I was just a wee lad. But it blew my mind in 1979, and it blew my mind again listening to it now. It's just, it's almost like I can't imagine a song like that existing, and then there it is, you know. I don't know what it is for you.
Yeah, I just, I remember hearing him doing whale sounds with his bow and the bass and the strings, and trying to imitate whale sounds. And that's another thing where I just knew, like, from an early age, I want to imitate sounds. That's I feel like that's my calling. And so I started, you know, trying to imitate bird calls. And I even did a cover of Song for the Whales on my first record called Imaginary Land back in the 90s. And I did it on all on violin. And I was trying to, I was like, how am I going to sound like Don Cherry? This is like, and all, but, you know, I just was kept remembering what my dad, you know, taught me, which is just have fun. You know, who cares? Just don't get so caught up in what if I do this wrong? What if I mess up? And so I just listened to the song, to the music, and I just try to emulate and play what the song means, you know, which is whales represent all living creatures, and how we as humans are responsible for protecting the natural world, and you know, that means so much. And that's what I was thinking when I played that song or record it. Of course, I'm trying to think of, you know, the notes and the music, but I'm also remembering that message from my dad, and it's really heavy. Thank you.
even in like old bluegrass and music, you hear like people imitating chickens and, you know, roosters or whatever.
Yeah.
But this doesn't have even a touch of gimmick to it. It's just that, and that's what amazes me about the piece. And then how it sort of develops and go and finishes is really kind of magical.
Yeah. You know, I forgot where I heard this, but someone told me that a reviewer or I forget, like a music critic or something, said, see, he had to get real whale sounds because he, you know, you can't emulate that sound, but that's really him making the sounds with his bass. And I think it really did fool some people.
And maybe if it, you know, maybe for some mating whales that heard it, maybe it caused some sort of romance. I don't know. What is it about your dad that you think you miss the most?
That's a really a good question. But I miss him, his sense of humor. Like I feel like he kind of molded, we have the same sense of humor, like when we talk on the phone, but he would answer my calls with a funny joke and just immediately make me laugh. And, you know, when I was a kid and I used to practice violin with him, he would make it fun. Like I would look at this hard piece of music and be really intimidated. And he would, if like a fly was in the room, he'd say, look, the notes are flying off the page. You know, he just made it really fun. And I miss the sound of his voice too. The way he talked was really calming and just him making me laugh, you know, that, because laughter is, and having a sense of humor is so important. I think, because I feel like people live longer when they have a sense of humor, and I just think that's important.
Yeah, my dad's been gone 10 years and he still cracks me up, you know, just from the memories. And it's kind of like a gift.
Yeah. And I miss him when he listened to music. He would always close his eyes and like, you know, shake his head. Like, you knew when he really loved a song or any music, he would just blast it. He would put it really loud, and I miss his reaction to music.
Petra Hayden, thanks for sharing all these memories, you know, and these insights. It's kind of you've got a unique view that only you have, really.
Oh, thank you.